We are straight up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed Show, a Thursday edition, and delighted to have you here. Our guest this morning was raised as a traditional Republican. He was registered Republican until 1997 when he left the party and became an independent because he felt the party had been moving in the wrong direction on social issues. Switched his party affiliation to the Democratic Party after the 2016 election. Been a member of the Democratic Party since and served as our U.S. representative for California's 48th Congressional District from 2019 to 2021. Joining us for the conversation this morning, we welcome Harley Ruda. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Glad to have you today. Thank you for showing up early, first of all. I love the fact that you were here in time to have a little conversation ahead of time. About the last election, did you do a full and complete postmortem on that election? And if so, what'd you find? And I think the question for me is, how did you, a competent and honest and effective legislator, lose to Michelle Steele? How did that happen?
Well, we have done a full audit, and what we had seen occur to us, the reason we lost in 2020 is the same reason we won in 2018. Our number one asset is our army of volunteers, of activists and grassroots supporters. We had 8,000 people knocking on doors in 2018, and because of the pandemic, we weren't able to take advantage of that army. They were basically sidelined. At the same time, the other side, while calling the pandemic a hoax, were out knocking on doors.
Right, right. Also, there was a difference in money. She raised $200,000 more than you. You went with the grassroots effort of raising money. She went with corporate PACs and such. Money, that big a difference in a campaign of this size?
It really is. And you are correct. It did hurt us. And a lot of people just thought or took for granted that this seat would remain blue, that I would win re-election. But what we have learned is that it does take all of us and a full commitment in knocking on doors and small donations to continue to fund the campaign.
Okay. And the difference was less than 17,000 votes. When all was said and done, the 17,000 votes was the difference. Where are you going to find those 17,000 votes?
That's a great question. And the reality is this is a swing district like other districts, certain districts in the United States. And these districts go one way or the other on the margins. So you can't really look to just one spot for right. those votes. You really have to look throughout the district. Where do we pick up 500 here, 1,000 there, and so on? So we know if we can get back to the game plan we had in 2018, we're very confident we will flip this seat back to blue.
And you're already getting back to that game plan. You're already starting. When does the door knocking start?
We are already doing door knocking now, okay. canvassing. Right. And one of the things we are focused on is helping marginalized communities understand how important it is to get vaccinated. So we're trying to serve the community and help keep our community healthy.
Okay. Before we go over some of these specific votes that your opponent has cast recently, your opponent voted no less than 48 hours ago to remove Confederate monuments or monuments honoring slave owners from the Capitol. Forgetting the political implications, what does that tell you about the mindset of someone?
That tells me that she doesn't share the values that the vast majority of voters and taxpayers here in Orange County in this district have. And that's one of the reasons I'm excited to be running again and with every intention of defeating her in 2022, because I do believe I have the values, the common values that we see here in Orange County in this district.
Excellent. Okay, if you don't mind, I want to go over a couple of things, a couple of votes that she has cast. And I mentioned that one just a couple of seconds ago. On June 23rd, Protecting Older Workers Against Discrimination Act seems like a no-brainer. She voted no on that.
Right. And it's one of many votes that she has taken against the interest of the people here in Orange County. Right. And one of your jobs as a representative is to support the people you represent. And that's why it's so disappointing to see these votes she has taken.
Another one was the Workplace Violent Prevention and Healthcare and Social Service Workers Act. Another no-brainer, it would seem like.
Again, in many of these bills that she has voted no were bipartisan. Right. And that's indicative of the fact that she's not even willing to reach across the aisle and put country over party.
Right. Now, the one that struck out for me, there's many that struck out for me, but the Paycheck Fairness Act seems to affect a lot of families here in Orange County, and she voted no there.
And look, there's been a long history in the United States of women not being paid what men are paid. And when you look at minority women, it's even worse. We should expect fair pay, equal pay for women. And the fact that anyone would vote against it, again, I don't think represents the values we have here in Orange County.
Right. And I'll stay on the subject of women for just a second. She voted no on the Violence Against Women Reauthorization Act.
This one is puzzling to me, and it's puzzling to me for why Republicans have shifted. This has been extreme bipartisan support for this legislation year after year after year, Congress after Congress after Congress. And for some reason, as the Republican Party keeps turning further and further to a radical right presence, we see these members who historically have supported this legislation and the reauthorization of it, voting against it. It makes no sense.
Right. Now, just taking that for a second, you were once known as a new Republican, fiscally conservative and socially open to a much broader tent. What happened to that party? What happened to that wing of that party?
It's unfortunate, and it's not healthy for America. What is best for America is two healthy parties. Two healthy parties where we debate policy, not debate whether conspiracy theory is true or not. Right. And that's unfortunately where the Republican Party has gone. And I don't even think it is the Republican Party anymore. It's the Trumpican Party.
Right.
And that's the unfortunate situation we're in. I would like to see the Republican Party get back to what we experienced with that party in previous times. And I think that would be healthy for our country.
Without being cynical, is it even possible with the current list of Republicans?
You know, it's very difficult. I was in an orientation shortly after I won the election before being sworn in, and we had a speaker there, and he asked the group of all these new lawmakers two questions. He said, you know, raise your hand if you love somebody who belongs to the other party. And every hand in the room went up. We all have people who belong to the other party that we love.
Right.
Then he asked a second question. He said, who here thinks our country would be better with just one party? Not a single hand went up. And I emphasize that because we have to continue to love the other side and not have contempt for the other side. But we also have to recognize that we need two healthy parties.
Right. And it's tough to do when the other side or portions of the other side are contemptible or doing contemptible things.
Absolutely. And in talking to my peers in Congress who experienced the January 6th insurrection firsthand, it's never been more difficult. It's extremely difficult to want to work with individuals who are turning a blind eye to what occurred on January 6th.
Right. How does the conversation in the hallways look when you try and engage someone who would have voted or who voted no on investigating the insurrection?
It's tough. And you know, one of the things I was really proud of as a new member, we almost had 100 new members in Congress when I came in. I was the most legislatively productive new member in Congress. In fact, there's very few members of Congress who were more legislatively productive than me. And that's because I'm willing to reach across the aisle and put country over party. But I will tell you, there was one time where it was getting difficult, and it was during the first impeachment of Trump, where you feel like you're in a movie theater and we're watching two different movies.
Right.
And it was frustrating to work with my peers on the other side of the aisle on things unrelated, but right, you have to do it. And Karen Bass, Representative Karen Bass, who I have such great respect for, I talked to her and she helped me understand that, you know, you just got to park those feelings over on the side because we do have to do the work of the nation.
Right. It's frustrating as an outsider reporting on it or reading about it or whatever. I can only imagine the frustration that you must feel inside that building. Republicans last week blocked the most ambitious voting rights legislation to come before Congress in a generation. Would you agree with the fact that it's progress and voting rights or the filibuster that we can't have both?
Well, I think there is a solution. I think there's two possible solutions. One is working on a Voting Rights Act with Republicans that hopefully they would support. Obviously, they're not willing to support H.R. 1 for the people. And that is a very comprehensive bill, and there are certain aspects of it they don't support. The John Lewis legislation, I do think, should have their support. But even there, if we can get to some version that they would support, that would be a great first step. Alternatively, if we can't get their support, and let's be clear, right, I don't think we can, then we need to move forward. And we can do that either through including that legislation in reconciliation or alternatively redefine how filibuster rules work. This is an arbitrary rule of 60.
Right.
And we can go back to the old days where you stand and talk as long as you can talk. And when you're finished, next person up. But eventually, we're going to vote on this legislation in a majority rules.
And What would you say to Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Sinema from Arizona as far as allowing legislation to move forward?
I would hope that they would focus on what I just stated, the latter idea of redefine how filibuster works and go back to the old days again where people just could stand and filibuster for hours if they wanted. But eventually there was a vote on the legislation with a majority carrying the load. And I would also ask them, what do you think would happen if the shoe was on the other foot? If this was a Republican president, a 50-50 Senate, and a tight House, what do you think the Republicans would do? I think we know the answer to that question.
Right, right. 20 years ago, people like yourself could achieve political success by informing the uninformed. Now, our politics is so different, you have to try and inform the misinformed. And that's a different item. So there's a difference between those two things. What's the level of difficulty or frustration? How do you engage them, or can you?
Wow, that's a great question. And frankly, there's a lot to unpack there because first of all, you've got to start with the source of the misinformation. And what we have seen through social media and the likelihood that a lot of people only want to hear what reinforces their beliefs is, to me, one of the greatest threats to our democracy. We have to get back to relying on facts, relying on science, having a conversation about policy, but get away from these conspiracy theories and statements that are simply misinformation or outright lies,
right,
especially the big lie.
Right. There is just what there's the big lie out there, and a lot of people are floating it, and a lot of people are eating it. You have a town hall coming up. Tell us about it.
I'm looking forward to this town hall that we're having next week, sponsored by the Laguna Beach Democratic Club. This is an opportunity to get in front of voters and constituents, which we have not been able to do because of the pandemic, and really talk about my values, my opponent's values, and ask for their support in my election.
Okay. And will we be seeing more of you out and about? Will we see you everywhere from this point on moving forward?
Absolutely. We are in 100% campaign mode. That is the nature of these races. We know that this will, in all likelihood, be the number one congressional race in the United States, much like it was in 2018. Certainly top five. So we have to start early. We have to work hard and know that we need to do those things if we're going to be successful. And I do believe we will be successful in flipping this seat back to blue.
Excellent. And you are sticking to the grassroots campaign. You're sticking with small donations, small donors.
Exactly. I do not take any corporate PAC money. I rely on our activists and supporters and grassroots efforts. And it was difficult during the pandemic, obviously, but I'm glad we have our army of volunteers back on the streets, knocking on doors and making phone calls and helping out.
If you have a message and a final message for our listeners and for Orange County residents, what's that message this morning?
Well, please support me in my efforts and do your due diligence. Look at what I did in my 2 years in Congress. Look at what the current representative is not doing in her tenure. And if my values align with your values, please support me.
All right. And the proudest thing, the proudest legislation you moved in your 2 years?
You know, there were three major bills that I passed. And I'm actually going to give you the one that actually probably gets the most support because of the bipartisan, and it was cutting down on robocalls. Everybody can agree on that.
Thank you.
Now, that aside, the one I am actually more proud of was addressing the opioid crisis and working across the aisle to get that legislation passed.
All right. Harley Ruda, running for 48th Congressional District this year. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Glad to have you. Best of luck to you, sir.
Thanks.
All right. It's the Mornings with Ed Show, 8:16 the time. Coming up at 8:30, Mayor Bob Whalen.
You got Bob next?